Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
What's up, everybody? Happy Monday. Junkies back with you on 106.7 The Fan. We are live on NBC Sports Washington. As always, presented by Crop Metcalf, the official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. You looking to be their next five-star HVAC technician? Just visit cropmetcalf.com to join their team. We thank you for tuning in this Monday morning, November 25th, 2019. I'm John Paul Flame, joined by Eric Bickle.
Good morning. Good morning.
And Johnny Cakes Allville.
Hello, everybody. Happy Victory Monday to all.
It is a Victory Monday, which is, of course, sponsored, driven by Priority Toyota Springfield, where you can have it all, including Priorities for Life, the most comprehensive lifetime vehicle coverage in the business. Shop PriorityToyotaSpringfield.com.
It's nice to hear that music on a Monday.
There weren't many people at the stadium, but they enjoyed a victory.
I like it. I still get sized for Victory Mondays. I don't care about draft picks. I'm not into tanking. I want to try to win. And then wherever you pick, just got to pick better.
Just got to get sized.
Yeah, but if you miss out on Chase Young, are you going to look back on the win over the Lions?
And maybe.
Missing out on a possibly transformational type of player?
Maybe, but I just don't think that's the way you do it. I just don't think tanking is the only way to get there. Some teams can get there that way. Others can just draft better, play better, coach better, and I think that's what the Redskins need to do. So I'm psyched for the dub.
Yeah, Cakes. So you're supposed to take the ball away from your closer. Haskins said he's a closer.
Well, he did just enough. He did just enough.
And Terry McLaurin made a great catch.
McLaurin bailed him out, but Haskins did just enough on those last two drives. Look, I give him credit. He showed some moxie, stood in there, didn't get down. And, you know, made the throws that he needed to down the stretch, and the Redskins pulled it out. So, look, it's not a transformational game. Doesn't change anything. They're still a 2 or 3 win team. They're still going to be right there in the mix for one of the worst picks, you know, the best picks in the draft. It doesn't really mean anything. But it's just nice to get a win if you're a fan of the team, and that's what I am.
And there were some positive things. I mean, defensively, I thought it was one of their better performances. You had the secondary with 3 interceptions. I don't know if it's a coincidence. No Josh Norman on the field.
Didn't hurt.
And the secondary balled out. It was against Jeff Driskel, but the secondary, three interceptions, he deserves some credit.
Josh Norman was on the field. He was standing like a statue during some special teams play.
I know, but I mean he wasn't part of the secondary yesterday.
It was a farce that he was actually on the field.
So you can give him some credit. It was against Jeff Driskel, but the defense played better and made some plays and 3 turnovers, and you win the turnover battle. We know this. You generally win in the NFL. Maybe later in the show, though, we can address the offense. Because I put this on our Junks Radio Twitter. If you're a Redskins fan looking at the offensive side only, besides Terry McLaurin, you're optimistic about blank. Fill in the blank.
Harmon.
Okay. You have somebody.
Yeah.
I think it's hard-pressed, man. They went another game. Another game without scoring an offensive touchdown.
Yeah.
They had that 16-quarter streak without an offensive touchdown. Then they scored 2, you know, late in the game last week. And then another game without an offensive score.
Yeah, they would have if they had a more accurate quarterback. If Haskins was on his game, they would have had a couple touchdowns. I actually was, impressed that they didn't just pound it 400 times, that they allowed Dwayne to drop back and try to make some plays. He didn't make them, but at least they tried. Opened it up.
It's terrible when you look at the box score and you see the amount of yards they have passing, the amount of yards they have rushing, the lack of first downs. It's terrible.
Yeah.
Well, their offense is putrid.
Well, their quarterback's inaccurate. He's very, very raw. He's got a big arm, and I do think he has some potential, but he's got a long ways to go.
Oh, he's got a lot of work.
Got a lot of ways to go. A lot of mechanical things, in my opinion, that he needs to tighten up, but maybe he can. I thought yesterday wasn't huge progress, but I thought there was some progress.
Hey,
so,
you know what? Last week I compared him to Ryan Tannehill. Tannehill's killing it for the Titans.
He's playing well.
He's killing it.
Got to give him credit.
So maybe that would be a good track. Yesterday when I was watching him, I got a Tim Tebow vibe. And it's not the throwing motion, because Tebow was crushed a lot for his throwing motion. But his other big flaw when he was playing quarterback, and everybody was like, oh, well, he wins games. His other big flaw was he was kind of slow in the pocket, held on to the ball a little bit too long. And that's, you know,
I don't get that vibe. You and I talked about it before the break.
Haskins, man.
He was only sacked 3 times. You know, you're saying he's holding on the ball too long. Maybe a couple times, but I think for the most part.
Well, I think that makes him late on throws sometimes.
What was it that he was late on throws for the most part? It was that he was overthrowing his guys. I think the decisions weren't bad for the most part. He just wasn't connecting.
He wasn't executing.
He was just inaccurate.
But again, it's very early in his career.
So raw.
It couldn't be earlier.
Right. Right.
So these are things he's going to work on in practice.
Right.
He's not going to miss a wide open McLaurin in the end zone.
Let's hope.
On like a 9-yard pass.
Let's hope.
Which seemingly is an easy pass to complete. But
and those things happen, because if you saw any of the highlights of the Seahawks game, Russell Wilson had one of his tight ends almost exactly in the same type of position, like a 10-yard pass.
Of course.
And now he was scrambling forward, and he just tried to toss it, and he threw it like 5 yards over
his head. All quarterbacks miss throws. The problem is he had a full game of it.
Yes.
That's the thing.
Problem is there are only 13 completions. And if you erase the dump-offs, how many actually were downfield throws?
Right. I'm taking a positive tack this week. I'm not going to sit here and just bash the kid's head in. The selfie was stupid. He was super inaccurate, but they found a way to get a dub. I'm going to try to stress on the positives this week. I could save the hammering the kid for next week when they inevitably lose.
Yeah, I don't think he has to be hammered. Look, it's going to be an evaluation of Dwayne Haskins every week. That is the biggest thing to look at with Redskins games. Win or lose.
Yeah.
But you evaluate everything, and I will say the defense played much better. Especially, they just played the Jets and gave up, 34 points against the Jets? Allowed Darnold to throw for 4 touchdown passes?
Yeah, almost 300 yards passing.
Well, I don't think it was a coincidence that Josh Norman was sitting and watching. They got some of those young guys in, and you're right. They were playing Jeff Driskel, doesn't have much of a resume. But he's an athletic guy. And you know,
Fabian Moreau with 2 interceptions, you know, maybe he's just better as a regular cornerback versus a slot cornerback.
Maybe.
Because everybody who watches film says Moreau's been awful this year.
Yeah. Well, certainly there've been a lot. There was a lot of miscommunications in the first 10-11 games, and it didn't seem to be as many broken coverages in the back end yesterday. So maybe they communicate better with those young guys. I don't know. But you're absolutely right. Cole Holcomb was all over the field. He made a bunch of plays.
He finished with 14 tackles.
13, I have him for, including a sack, first sack of his career. Ryan Anderson was streaking around the field and made a bunch of plays. I really noticed 52. Which I thought was good.
I think Jonathan Allen had a big game.
Jonathan Allen was in there.
Montez Sweat got a sack.
He got a sack when no one guarded him.
That was a gift.
Yeah, it was a gift. Hey, he's still very much a question mark.
He's on his way to my 13.5 prediction as a rookie.
What's he got, 3.5?
I think it's 3.5 or 4, yeah.
If no one guards him, right. He can get there.
You know what's amazing, too? So they beat the Lions, and the Lions only have 3 wins. I think it was during the television broadcast. I might have heard on the radio broadcast, because Cakes and I were doing our pregame from Glory Days Grill in Alexandria, and so I had a long drive back home. Not sure if I heard on the radio or on TV, but the Lions, with 3 wins, have actually had a lead in every game this season.
Yeah, that was interesting. I heard that, too.
Every game this season.
Yeah. They find new and creative ways to lose.
Yeah, I mean, and look, they had a chance with Jeff Driskel to drive down the field, hit a game-winning field goal. Instead, Jeff Driskel threw just a couple
of
awful
passes. You mentioned
the
key point. They're playing with Jeff Driskel instead of Matt Stafford,
who was almost moved to wide receiver this year.
Right. So, I mean, you're playing with one hand tied behind your back.
I like some of the things Driskel did. He just made some poor decisions, you know, on some of those interceptions.
Yeah. He's not terrible, but he's,
I like some of the things
he's best suited as a backup quarterback. You want your number one overall pick, Matt Stafford, in over Jeff Driskel.
No doubt. But I think, you know, you ask, what are some positives? Obviously, I think, you know, Haskins coming up big there in the fourth quarter. I think it's the second time he's had a decent fourth quarter. That's something that you can build on. I do think that Darius Geis, given holes in front of him, will be a fine back if he could stay healthy.
But the run game was ineffective yesterday.
Yeah.
Overall, ineffective.
Overall, but I'm just judging. What do I think we have in Geis? I think we got a pretty good back if we can get some holes. McLaurin's a stud. We all know that. I think Harmon's starting to emerge in the last few weeks. Somebody, you know, maybe that you can build around a little bit. And then, of course, I tell you, Steve Sims, he's got 2 touchdowns now. You know, he's not some big-time contributor, but I would like for them to find more ways to get him the ball and not just these little bubble screens or whatever they do behind the line of scrimmage. He's got 215 catches in college. Utilize him as a regular receiver.
He leads the league in kick return yardage.
Really?
Yeah,
I mean,
I'll say
he could take it to the house.
The design where Haskins ends up missing McLaurin, Sims can.
Which one?
The first one. It's the second one. That's a tough ball. He's throwing it early. It ends up hitting his fingertips. The first pass to McLaurin that he missed, Steven Sims was in his typical jet sweep formation, you know, running motion, and Haskins kind of gave him a look-see, and I actually think he could have thrown it to Sims, and Sims would have had a one-on-one and probably found his way into the end zone, but that commanded enough attention, I think, for the defense that then with McLaurin streaking across the field the other way, was wide open. So I thought that was good play design. I liked it.
Yeah, I liked a lot of the offense. They just didn't execute. They just didn't finish the playoff.
The offense was better. I know at some point in the game, I think it was Grant who was tweeting that they were running a greater percentage of passes on first down, which was nice.
I don't know. I know Grant's very into all that. They still handed off quite a bit.
They did on
first down, and they were pretty ineffective with it for the most part when they did. But I saw a little progress yesterday. It's not earth shattering. It's not going to change the trajectory of the season by any stretch. They didn't score an offensive touchdown, so there's still a ton that needs to be worked on. But it's nice if you're a fan, and I'm a fan of the team, and I know there still are, believe it or not, fans of the team that watch this team on Sunday, that enjoy a Sunday victory, and it just makes the week that much easier.
Should mention, coming up a little bit later in the show, Craig Hoffman, our Redskins beat reporter, will join us. So we'll get some skinny from Craig Hoffman about Dwayne Haskins' wrist injury and what this team is doing moving forward. Chris Thompson will join us at 9. Once again, he did not play.
Yeah, I feel sorry for Chris, man. The season's just slipping away from him.
Morgan Moses will join us at 8:20.
Morgan was fired up. Gave Haskins a huge hug at the end of the game there, right before Haskins ran off to take a selfie. Morgan Sice clearly rooting for the kid to succeed. He seems to have the backing of his teammates.
Yeah.
There's no question about that.
Yeah, Chris Thompson last week spoke highly of Haskins.
You see flashes.
And then we'll have Jay Busby, Yahoo Sports senior writer. We'll go around the NFL with him. So we'll hit it from a lot of angles. Maybe we should throw out there, because you say you want to be optimistic. This is a question which, look, a lot of people took it very cynically, and almost all of the responses, and there was like over 80 responses, almost all of them seem negative, but there were some people who legitimately answered positively. If you're a Redskins fan looking at the offensive side only, they've been struggling. Besides Terry McLaurin, you're optimistic about
who?
Yes.
Blank.
Want to hear from you. 800-636-1067. You throw in Harmon.
Harmon's starting to emerge a little bit.
I've seen enough from Harmon. I'd be intrigued if Harmon, I wonder, can Harmon play slot? I'm over Trey Quinn.
I think he can. I think Steve Sims could.
Well, I mean, you just haven't seen a lot of him. He hasn't had a lot of opportunity.
I would like to see somebody else try. I just don't think he gets much separation.
Quinn?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which they said he had, like, savvy and had it. And he might. It might just be that he's part of a really bad offense, but I wouldn't.
I think it's part of it. I think he's very average.
I wouldn't mind seeing, like, I don't know if I'd be willing to go with next year, McLaurin and Harmon as your 1-2, but I could buy McLaurin is your 1, maybe find a free agent better than Richardson as your 2 and slide Harmon.
Oh, I don't think that's going to be difficult to find a free agent better and more impactful than Richardson.
They still need to find, besides McLaurin, like a burner that's going to streak down the sideline. That's what Richardson was brought here for, and he just doesn't do it.
Right.
For whatever reason.
800-636-1067. So what are you optimistic about on the offensive side? Want to hear from Redskins fans. On a Victory Monday, that's right, it is a Victory Monday, driven by Priority Toyota Springfield, where you can have it all, including priorities for life. the most comprehensive lifetime vehicle coverage in the business. Shop PriorityToyotaSpringfield.com.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Welcome back. Chucky's on 106.7 The Fan on a Victory Monday. Driven by Priority Toyota Springfield, where you can have it all, including priorities for life. The most comprehensive lifetime vehicle coverage in the business. Shop PriorityToyotaSpringfield.com. We're talking about the Redskins' win yesterday against the Detroit Lions. I want to hear from you in terms of your optimism, if you have any, about the offensive side, where they certainly have been struggling. Some of it makes sense. You got a rookie quarterback. You don't have Jordan Reed or Vernon Davis. Then think about it. They've had their number three tight end, who was supposed to be a blocking tight end, as their primary the majority of the year.
Yeah, it's a major flaw in the offense.
And he's a big nothing. He's a big dud.
Yeah. Chris Thompson, who comes on this show, is their primary weapon out of the backfield.
He's super explosive.
Been pretty much unavailable all year. So you have a lack of weaponry there for a rookie quarterback. It makes sense that you're going to struggle, but there are some things you can point to if you're an optimist and you're thinking about looking forward. I'll tell you this one thing about Haskins. I don't know how he's going to end up in terms of a passer of the football. I've been underwhelmed so far. We were sold as him being a pretty much a statue back there.
He can move.
He has showed some athleticism, and that also takes some knowledge as to when to get out of there, because he's able to get a couple of first downs with his feet.
I'm optimistic
about that.
I told Drab I'd incorporate more of that into the plans. I'd have some more designed runs. Screw it. Because he does have a little bit of escapability and, you know, some athleticism to him. And he could create, you know, he's gotten some first downs, some big ones with his legs. I'd incorporate a little more of
that. If he has that skill set, why not take advantage of it?
Yep. And
teams might be sleeping on it.
I might buy your Harmon thing. I think it's a little bit early. I mean, somebody's got to catch a football. I was just looking at the targets. So he threw 29 passes, Haskins, and finished 13 for 29. His, you know, quarterback ratings, completion percentage, all of that looks awful. He targeted Terry McLaurin 12 times. That's what we want, right?
Absolutely.
Terry McLaurin's a stud.
You target your best players.
And he targeted Harmon.
That's a positive.
Yeah, he targeted Harmon 6 times, completed it 3 times for 43 yards. Outside of that, I mean, AP.
We don't have anybody
Richardson,
else.
Geis, Sprinkle, Smallwood, they all had one catch each.
We don't have anybody else.
Yeah. So his
targets are limited.
I mean, he's got to throw the ball to somebody is my point, besides McLaurin, which McLaurin should
Well, luckily it was Harmon,
who,
you know, was very productive in college, who a lot of people were high on coming out into the draft and out of the draft. So, you know, he's emerging a little bit. I'm not saying he's a superstar.
I don't know if he'll be a starter.
He could be like a possession type receiver.
Yeah, whatever.
A big guy that goes up and wins battles for the ball.
Like, you need contributors.
He's not a burner. He's not going to be like McLaurin, but he can be the guy that gets you 12 or 13 yards per grab.
It's like the same thing I said about Steve Sims. Like, I don't think he's a star, but I think he could be a contributor. He could be somebody who – he's a threat. Look, they only have a handful of guys that at any given time could take it to the house. He's one of those guys. I think Geis is one of those guys. I think Chris Thompson is one of those guys. And McLaurin's one of those guys. And that's it.
800-636-1067. Let's go to the phones. What are you optimistic about? And it could be Haskins. Look, Haskins – for as bad as he played, he started, I'll say this, the last 2 weeks, he started to take care of the ball a little bit better. He did have one interception. You know, if you look at those first 22 passes of his NFL career. I think he had three interceptions.
Mm-hmm.
So the rate of interceptions is coming down, and he got a win. In the end, he needed a couple of big throws, and he got them.
Luckily, his receivers made some big-time catches.
Yeah.
All right, let's go to Pat in McLean.
Driscoll had the same opportunity and didn't make the good throws.
Pat, what's up, buddy? You're all the Jucks.
Well, thank you. Good morning and happy Thanksgiving to you all. You guys got an awesome show.
You too,
My
buddy.
Optimism is with Haskins, and I like the way they were using Peterson and Geis maybe catching passes. That's where I'm optimistic. And, hey, I've missed meetings just like Haskins didn't make it back. So I've lived that. So I thought it was kind of cool. Actually, he was out there getting pictures, and he didn't make it. Who cares? They won.
Yeah, I'm going to give him a pass. It's a rookie
Bill
mistake.
Callahan didn't think it was that cool.
Yeah, I'm going to give him a pass. I'm going to say it's a rookie mistake. I doubt he'll ever do that again.
Yeah, I wouldn't think it happens.
I mean, I'm sure he'll take selfies, but he's not going to do it with time still on the clock. He just lost himself a little bit. He's all in the moment. That's fine. Not going to kill him for it. It's not a great look. It's definitely embarrassing. But I think it's a one-off. Kids make mistakes. He made a mistake. No big deal. No harm, no foul. They got the dub. Case Keenum could run out there and run out the clock. Not going to slaughter him for it.
You know how many mistakes Valdez made when he was 22? So many. Just so many regrettable incidents.
Right. Not me, though. I was perfect at 22.
No, 22, man. I had my you-know-what together.
Is so that
together.
It? We got one caller excited about one player?
I guess because
pretty
we
amazing.
Asked, we asked for optimism.
Well, they are, again, they if are 2-9.
I told you. I mean, I threw it out there on Twitter, and there were some people. I think the most popular answer was Geis, besides McLaurin. And then Harmon was thrown in there. I'd have to actually scour through over 70 messages. But most were negative.
If you're limiting it to the offense, I mean, there are only a couple guys it could be. The other one I keep saying is I would try to incorporate Steve Sims more. But then if you actually open it up to the defense, there are pieces there I think you could be excited about.
All right, let's add in the defense.
If you throw in the defense, I thought Jimmy Moreland made some plays. I thought Cole Holcomb was all over the football field. Obviously, you have to tip your cap to Fabian Moreau, who came up with two big-time interceptions. Quentin Dunbar had a pick. So there were definitely some pieces there. Defense. I mean, John Bostic had a big play or two. I saw Ryan Anderson flying all over the field, making some plays.
So, I just don't know if I'm sold on it. Like, it's great that the secondary had a great day and Moreau had a great day. I'm just kind of tainted by all these people who've said that he's been awful this season, including our Redskins beat reporter Craig Hoffman will join us at 7. Now, it might be a case, I don't know, where he's not suited to be a slot corner, which he's been playing, or nickel corner, which he's been playing, where a lot of times you're taking the receiver in the middle of the field, it can go either way, and you might just be better served where you're on the outside more as a traditional
quarter. Maybe they're just communicating better. Maybe Josh is not a great communicator.
Yeah.
I saw a couple plays I saw on the back end when they were in the red zone where our guys were switching off receivers and did a pretty good job of staying with their guys. I was impressed. I think there are some things there that you can build on the back end.
Pass that Driscoll did have, I don't know if that was a communication deal. It was just like, Kerrigan was kind of in the flat taking, we never like seeing Kerrigan on.
I don't want to see him covering.
If it was a running back or tight end, and then the guy behind it might have looked like maybe it was Monte Nicholson was late on the touchdown pass.
I have to watch the replay.
They pretty much shut down a pretty good group of wide receivers in Detroit. Now, they don't have the best trigger man delivering the ball right now because that guy's sidelined with a back injury. But if you keep Jones and Galladay and company, you know, quiet, it's a good day.
I've been saying this, you know, statistically the defense had been trending better until the Jets game, and then this is returned to how they were playing before the Jets game. I'm kind of the opinion now that it's the coaching mostly, and that the miscommunication, all these things, like I really believe if they had a good defensive coordinator, that this defense would be showing a lot better.
Clean up their act.
Because they do have talent.
That's
the
idea.
They really do.
You do think that.
At least on paper, it seems like
they have
this
coordinator for 5 more games. Yeah. So you ride out Minuski. There's no way he survives into 2020.
And in fact, I might be inclined to bring in a head coach who's more defensive-minded to kind of straighten that up, and then hopefully just hire some sort of hotshot coordinator that can take care of the offense. But the defense should be a lot better. It really should. They should have put more performances like yesterday on the field.
I never liked defensive oriented head coaches.
I never liked that.
I know what you're saying, but you
gotta have offense.
You know who's a defensive mind? Like Vic Fangio. You want the next Vic Fangio here in Denver?
I never liked those.
Do you want that guy
minds.
Here?
Let's go to Mark.
Somebody of that ilk. No,
in
thank
Fairfax.
You.
Fairfax. Mark, what's up, buddy? You're on with the Jugs.
Hey, good morning, guys. How are you?
Good morning. Doing well.
Good. Hey, listen, I think Callahan's a poopy coach, and he's probably going to be gone. But of all the offensive people to be proud of, I'm proud of him for lighting those guys up and getting some sort of a fire under them. And for those guys not reacting and feeling sorry for themselves. I'm tired of these young guys walking around like you can't yell at them. So kudos to him for that. And at least we had that yesterday.
Are you referring to the reported meeting he had the night before the game? Is that what you're referring to?
Yeah, that is what I'm referring to.
Yeah.
I'm glad he did it and blasted those guys.
Yeah. So here's Callahan talking about that after the game, the team meeting on Saturday.
There was a report that you challenged the team last night during the team meeting. Can you shed some light on maybe what that challenge was?
Well, I think, you know, those moments are private, and I think coaches always challenge their team, you know, in a lot of different ways. And they responded today, I think, extremely well, you know, and they came out fast. We came out, made some big plays early. I really credit our special teams. I mean, wow. You know, I look at Coach Katzer and what he has done with that unit from the return game with Simsy making the long play on the kickoff return to Tress Way, obviously to Hop winning it out. I mean, those guys, they're a great group of guys, and he's worked extremely hard. I'm glad to see that his unit, you know, really, really shined today and created some really good field position in some really tough times. But my hat goes off to Coach Katzer and the special teams unit for the fine job that they've done today.
Well, they won the game. They had all the points.
The challenge is keeping
your responsible for all the points
when he's talking. That's the real challenge.
So by the way, here's what grilling the team.
I would guess he had somebody by proxy do it. Like, I don't think he can get upset. Here's what you don't want. You don't want the Redskins, and I think this is highly unlikely, that they go on some sort of win three of their last five games or win four of the last five. I know it's not going to happen, because if that were to happen, that emboldens the front office, Bruce Allen specifically, to say, well, we can keep it with Callahan next year. Keep the band together.
If you look at it,
what you do not want.
You're right. If you look at it based on opponents, unlikely. They play. They're at Carolina. They're at Green Bay.
Right.
They've got the Eagles, Giants, and then at the Cowboys. They'll be lucky to win one of those.
That's why I said it's highly unlikely. They string
they're not
a bunch
win
of wins
any of those
together.
Games if they don't score any offensive touchdowns.
Well, they're not going to win the road games. But those last three opponents, I'm sorry, the Eagles, Giants, and the Cowboys, they're all underwhelming.
They're all better, but they're all beatable.
Eagles and the Cowboys are going to be battling for the division. Now, both teams lost yesterday.
Right.
I would say this. If they miraculously won, say, two or three of these games down the stretch, that would be I wouldn't hate it, because it would show to me that Haskins was growing, that Haskins was developing. Because I would assume
Cake's talking about Callahan. You wouldn't hate Callahan returning as the head coach?
There's no way they could bring him back.
Yeah.
I don't think they can bring him back.
Again, I said I think it's a long shot.
No, Cakes was making the argument that if they were able to pull off three upsets,
I hear what he's saying.
The Callahan might get some consideration.
That he would be more in play.
I would rather see progress from my quarterback, and if we stumble into a few wins on the way out, then just lose them all, see no progress, not be in the games, and clearly have to reshuffle everything and have a big question mark at quarterback at the top of the draft.
No, you want to see progress.
I would rather see progress, and if we steal a couple wins, that's okay. I'm okay with it. And then we just have to, again, there are teams out there that are dynasties that never draft early. They just draft better. They just coach better. They just do a better job of player acquisition. So I think that's what you have to do. You don't just have to tank to get better in this league. It's just, you know, it's a shortcut that might work. It might not. Where do we pick RG3?
Look at the Browns.
Well, those teams that you're talking about, they all have better infrastructure and
no
setups
doubt,
than the Redskins.
No doubt.
His point is, there are teams like the Browns who've had top picks year after year after year.
Yeah, sure.
What are 20 years of sucking?
They're flailing.
I know that these teams are better
this year.
The Jets
are always terrible.
But years of just being terrible.
And I guarantee you, I'll bet you anything, the Bills aren't this good next year. This is one of those fluky years, in my opinion, on the Bills. Just like the Bears last year, the Bills this year, they'll be next year's team to come back to earth. That would be my guess.
They got a pretty good I'm kind of buying into they got a pretty good head coach. And
they might.
Good defense.
AB, yesterday's dub gives you more ammunition for, well, it's the Lions.
Well, it's true. It is the Lions.
We own the Lions.
We'll look at the record. I mean,
the record here, I believe, is now 1-21 or 1-22.
And I think
in their history,
I think all time, it's something like we've doubled the win. We're like 28-14 against them.
Yeah,
I mean, we just pwned them.
Pwned them real good.
There are some teams historically. I'm sorry, they just are by the numbers. The Lions, the Rams, the Cardinals. They're poopy. You know,
don't forget the Bengals.
The Bengals
like
generally beat them.
Throw in there.
Let's go to Scott in Fairfax. Scott, what's up? You're on with the Junks.
What's going on, guys?
Hey, buddy.
I mean, my biggest takeaway from yesterday, it was just good to see the energy and actually seeing people having fun out there, and they actually won.
Mm-hmm.
And it was refreshing, to be honest with you.
Yeah. I mean, didn't it feel good?
Haskins just like celebrating with the fans. I mean, it was good to see. So hopefully they can build on it.
Yeah, and as a fan, didn't it feel good to not have your Sunday sort of ruined?
A little bit. I think it was the first time I actually watched the whole game.
Yeah, you watched the whole game. You felt a little better about things. You weren't sort of grumpy. You didn't maybe yell at your wife. You know, you didn't yell at the kids.
And I say it facetiously, but it's just a couple of games. And I keep pointing out Jared Goff. Now, Jared Goff's not having a great year this year, but awful first year. Great second year. Okay, it takes time for some rookie quarterbacks. What if Dwayne Haskins actually is Kyra Sedgwick, the closer? I know you never watched that TV show.
Yeah.
Kyra's Kira.
They pronounce it Kira, K-Y-R-A.
Isn't it Kira Sedgwick?
I think they call her Kira Sedgwick.
Yeah,
really? Yeah.
Yeah. Kevin Bacon's wife?
Yes.
Yeah, Kira Sedgwick. Yeah.
They call her Kira. I don't know.
She's the closer.
Yeah, yeah. She's the real closer.
Yeah.
I need to see more from Haskins.
He's got a game-winning drive under his belt.
He does. Look, he gets credit for playing better in the fourth quarter. I'd just like to see him be – if he could be more accurate, that was the number one thing that jumped out at me. To you, the number one thing you thought he was processing things a little slowly. To me –
That's just from yesterday. It's just overall.
I didn't see that. So that was your perception. I'm not saying you're wrong, but I didn't see that. What I just saw was just a wildly inaccurate quarterback.
I think it might have just been a combination. Is that a Tim Tebow vibe? Like when I would watch Tebow games, well, even when Tebow was winning,
Tebow was
like,
much slower.
He would have those low completion percentages, right? And then he would make one or two throws and they would win. And then you'd hear, you know, Skip Bayless go, he's a winner.
No, you would just say he's a winner. I'm not prepared to say that about Haskins yet. That he's just a winner. I'm not prepared to say that. And you just can't compare them just because the arm talents are completely different.
True.
Completely different. All right, let's do one more here before the break. Let's go to Rich in Manassas. Rich, what's up?
Hey, good morning, Junkies. How are you this morning?
Rich. Doing okay.
I actually feel kind of sorry for you guys today.
Why?
I watched, well, because you're going to have to fill 4 hours with positives for the game yesterday, which,
not
listen,
really.
We won. I'm a huge Redskins fan, and the bottom line is, though, we still didn't score a single touchdown with our offense.
Mm-hmm.
That's a little disturbing when you're playing against that type of a defense. That said, I did think that the wide receivers were actually creating they were getting away from the defenders. I think that Haskins was overthrowing several times to avoid getting picked off.
That's what he
said. Didn't want to have turnovers.
That's what he said.
You know, so
yeah.
That's cool. That's all fine and good, but I mean, guys, we didn't score an offensive touchdown.
True, but here's the positive. Here's the positive in that, is that they were moving the ball. They were taking chances. They didn't just pound it and try to race through the game and have it over by 3:15.
I sympathize with you. You're making it positive, but guys, that's a horrible, horrible defense they were playing.
Well, it's just nice to have a change of pace. You're right. They were one of the worst pass defenses in the league.
And I think
you'd typically think that you're going to feast against a team like that. But look, every week we have this Misery Monday bit, and we not cheerleaders. We don't sugarcoat it. We call it like we see it.
You're not at all.
Right.
No, you're not at all.
So it's
and
nice
I was
to
happy.
Have a change
Listen,
of pace.
Like you said, I was really happy we won. I mean, honestly, it felt a whole hell of a lot better. It really,
exactly.
really did.
Exactly. But also, if you're honest, and we've been the whole show. It's not a transformative win. It doesn't change anything. They're still going to be underdogs every game down the stretch. But maybe there are a few pieces. Maybe there are a few pieces that you can build on. That's what you hope.
You know, it's another piece. Eric Flowers, been better than advertised. He might be a keeper.
He has been better than I thought he would.
Okay.
I thought he'd be a total turnstile.
Yep.
He's been better.
All right, phone number is 800-636-1067. We are basking in a victory Monday, taking your calls. A little bit later, coming up at 7:20, we'll recap our Friday night evening. The fellas went out together to the Palm and bowling, so we'll get into that at 7:20. Also, Craig Hoffman, a Redskins beat reporter, he'll join us at 7 right here on the Junkies.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Welcome back. Junkies on 106.7 The Fan. We are live on NBC Sports Washington. Thanksgiving on Thursday. Are either of you guys hosting Thanksgiving?
No.
No, sir.
No, sir. Not doing that.
It's always been at my mom's, but I'm just, you know, I mean, hopefully she lives another 100 years. My brother always comes down for Thanksgiving. I haven't seen him since, like, July, since we were in Puerto Rico together. At some point, I feel like, because my mom has, I was there on Saturday, and she's dropping hints like, oh, I don't know if I can handle this anymore. You know, it's just too much. It's not like a ton of people coming.
Yeah.
It's my brother's
family. But
still, it
is a lot of work.
My brother and family, I think.
Something.
My cousin, Father Paolo's coming. There might be a couple other family friends. But not. It's not like 20 or 30 people. It'll be under 15. And so she's asking for more and more help. At some point, I probably should step up and volunteer to
host.
Why
don't you?
A lot of work.
Exactly.
It's a lot of work.
Exactly.
That's why I was asking
it's
if you guys
It's a lot of pressure, too. Like.
Now, I know you do the New Jersey bit.
Yeah, we do a New Jersey thing. There's probably 45 people there.
Right. It's just much easier to not host. You know what I mean?
So much easier to just get in my car personally and drive a quarter mile to my in-laws.
Right.
Who are
never make the walk.
They're both amazing cooks.
Right.
And I'm sure that, look, my wife's a very good cook, but I'm sure anything that we would put out would pale in comparison.
I'd rather host than drive to Jersey and all that. 4 hours up there, spend $250 on a hotel, and then 4 hours back the next day. I'd rather host 100%.
Look, I'm already stepping up by hosting Feltsgiving 2019, the annual poker event Saturday night. So I'm just off the hook for Thanksgiving.
Yeah,
hosting Feltsgiving.
You don't have to like cook a turkey.
No. All I have to do is
put out some chips.
Here's what I have to do. I have to have some booze.
Right.
I have to have a card table, which I have. I have to go out and get a couple decks of cards, and that's basically it.
Yeah.
And open up the basement to all the degenerates.
Right. Keep that to the dull roar, because if somebody who's uninvited shows up, I can't show up.
Understood.
Yeah.
Yes, I get it.
Yeah.
Hey, he didn't show up on Friday night, and I was a little worried about that.
Oh, I know.
Same guy. We'll talk about it at 7:20. We had a good time on Friday night.
I will say this. My hip hurts, and I couldn't figure out why. And then you mentioned bowling. Well, that's why.
Yeah.
And then I went. I did the bowling
right
motion
a little bit
in here, and you put all that pressure on your left leg. You know when you finish
right,
bowling.
Right.
So that's why my left
Plus,
hip is
you
sore.
You were doing a kneel down bit on a lot of your shots.
Yes. Only when I was tense.
Yeah, you're like Colin Kaepernick.
No, when it looked like I was going to miss my spare.
Right.
I would get down low.
Try to give it that body, that little bit of English.
I would just stare at the ball. Yeah.
All right, we'll get into that at 7:20. But there are some people who want to chime in with some optimism about this team. Look, the previous caller said it. You can't get carried away. We understand that. They didn't, you know.
Nobody's getting carried away
here. They
didn't
have a 400-yard offensive performance. They didn't score an offensive touchdown. But they got a dub. And there are a couple things that you hopefully can point to down the road that you can be optimistic about.
And here's what I'd say in regards to not scoring any touchdowns. We didn't. But if our quarterback was more accurate, we would have.
Yeah,
the plays were there.
There's no doubt about it.
The plays were there.
I thought about it. If you had an average NFL quarterback, just pick an average NFL quarterback. I don't know.
Case Keenum. If Case Keenum were in there, he would have hit some of those throws.
He definitely would have.
Yeah.
Yes.
Ryan Tannehill.
So I find that throws. You could take that one of two ways. Take it as a negative. I'll take it as a positive that the guys were open, the plays were there, quarterback just didn't execute. Hopefully he'll get better.
And look, as poorly as Haskins played on that last drive, he had a first down with his legs.
Yep.
Because they needed roughly 20, 25 yards, right? So he got the first down with his legs, and he made one big throw, aided by a great catch by Terry McLaurin.
Mm-hmm.
But still, closer.
He also had a good catch or two by Harmon, who bailed him out at times.
He tends to be high, it seems like.
Yeah. He claimed he was doing that high on purpose. Okay. Do you have the audio of that? Let's play that real quick. I know you have it.
Yeah, we do. I think, he says we have the audio about his wrist injury. Can you play cut number 6? That's what he says.
He was being very, I'll say this about Haskins. He was very defensive in that presser yesterday. And a lot of it was because they were grilling him about the selfie. But the kid has a chip on his shoulder. There's no question about it. I'll leave it at that.
Generally, you like that.
Congratulations on your first win. But I also have to ask you, a couple receivers running free in the end zone. You overthrew them. Was that a nerves deal? You had some overthrows today? Or was that you're hurried? Or what do you attribute that to?
It was pretty banged up.
See that one more time?
Wrist pretty banged up. My wrist, right wrist.
That happened during the game?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he's...
Can you elaborate? When did you hurt your wrist? How hurt is it?
I'm good.
Yeah, it's just... He's weird, man. I'll say this. He's a weird dude. He's got a chip on his shoulder. He's right. Soft-spoken.
Yeah.
So you think, oh, he's a pretty nice guy. But he's got a little edge to him.
Well, he definitely has a chip. He was upset that Daniel Jones was drafted ahead of him.
No doubt.
And he has a chip about that. There's, you know, we try to interpret what his tweet meant at the time, but there was no doubt when Daniel Jones was named the starter of the New York Giants. I can't remember exactly what Haskins tweeted at the time, but his tweet came like 10 minutes after.
Look, he's under the microscope. There's no doubt. And he's been criticized a lot. But welcome to being the starting quarterback here in Washington, D.C.
He was upset that a better player was drafted in front of him, in Daniel Jones.
But at the time, most people mocked the Giants for doing it.
I'm sure they did. I might have been part of that crew mocking Dave Gettleman.
Daniel Jones, throwing a bunch of touchdowns, does have 10 fumbles.
True. But again, he's a rookie, and it's going to take him time to refine his game.
Now, Haskins had a fumble yesterday, too, so I guess he had two turnovers.
I'll say this about Haskins. He was pretty mediocre for most of the game. If he finds a way to be a little more accurate, you might have something. You might have something. Because the plays were there to be made.
Yep.
If he can find a way to connect on them. Let's go to Eric in Alexandria. Eric, what's up?
Good morning, gentlemen. Another fine show.
Hello, sir.
I'm optimistic, and it's easy to say McLaurin. And I think the guy is just amazing.
Yeah.
Especially for what he's done with the limited amount of quarterbacking that's back there. I am optimistic about Geis, but Geis scares me because of the way he runs. And I don't mean that in a bad way, but that guy seems to hit the line and go and go and go.
He relishes contact.
Yeah.
He does. And I just don't want him to see – I don't want to see him go down that Clinton Portis path where, you know, he's all out and then gets injuries that could have been avoided. I still think the pessimistic side of me says the – Redskins let 5.5 yards per rush yesterday. There was a very questionable quarterback on the other side who threw 3 interceptions, gave him 3 gifts. And as the Redskins are wont to do, they will take 4 or 5 quarters of a body of work and translate that into longer-term success. And I just don't see it.
We'll see.
I would love to see Geis to have a long, fruitful, you know, decade-long career in the NFL, but – he plays the most expendable position on the field, running back. They're easy to find. They're easy to plug in. Look at Bo Scarborough, what he did to the Redskins yesterday. Called up from the practice squad for the Lions last week.
Yeah.
You can plug and play running backs. You just can't.
He seems to be a little different, though. He's a little more skate. You know,
I like him. I'm just saying that running backs in general are expendable pieces.
Agreed. But he's starting with a better talent base.
He's got a really good skill
them.
Set, and I hope he lasts a long time, but those guys are replaceable.
Let's go to Brandon, Fredericksburg. Brandon, what's up?
Hey, how you doing, Jokes?
Hey, Brandon.
I just wanted to say that I'm pretty optimistic about Kevin O'Connell, man. A lot of times when we had Jay Gruden back there, we always knew that we could get some players open, whether it was even an average Trey Quinn. But yesterday was like the first time we saw people actually open. Now, Haskins didn't connect, but with our recent history and all sorts of coordinators, that's the probably the piece that you would see most optimistic about. Whether you look at Green Bay, the 49ers, they have offensive coordinators that we've had in our possession where they go on to have success. So that's got to be the piece that I'm looking forward to, especially if we have a coach turnover and they just keep him around.
I need to see more because to me, Kevin O'Connell, I got to look at what the offense has done overall, and they just don't score touchdowns.
I think it was maybe the most open that we've seen the playbook with O'Connell there. I clearly would take Jay Gruden as play caller over him.
Yeah.
100 times out of 100.
Yeah.
Guys were open when Jay was there.
They said they actually scored touchdowns. Look, they had not an overwhelming amount, but in five games this year with Gruden, they had 9 touchdowns.
Yeah.
Now, it was the Case Keenum for the majority of it, right? So he had a better starter.
Yeah.
Experienced starter.
Look, Jay proved throughout his tenure here that he could call plays, in my opinion. That wasn't the issue.
He's just a mediocre head coach.
That wasn't the issue.
All right, phone number is 800-636-1067. We'll come back, take more of your calls a bit later in the program. But next, we'll hear from our Redskins beat reporter. He was there, Craig Hoffman, next on The Junkies.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.